don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Joining us now to give us some perspective on this question is Pastor Dr. Watson Mbiriri Mudis. Good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to answer our question.
Once more, thank you so much for having me, and good afternoon to all the listeners out there.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. Our question for today is, how does Christianity view the concept of reincarnation from other religions?
Yes. I can begin by saying that, Christianity is fundamentally at odds with Christian teachings, fundamentally at odds with reincarnation. On points of life, death, and salvation. So, reincarnation, as many of your listeners out there might know or may care to know, is a teaching that is dominant in Asian religions, particularly when I'm talking about Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism. These are the three main religions where teaching is, promoted. Fundamental teaching there, and it is basically a belief that there's life after death, and when someone dies, the soul is reborn in the body, either human, animal, or spiritual. So, which is called, that is the reincarnation, life coming back. The soul coming back in a new form, depending on whether this life was lived in a way that is pure or impure. If the life was lived in a good way, then the person is upgraded until eventually they will reach a state of escaping the physical realities and enter a state of eternal spiritual freedom and unity with the divinity. So that is the, so it is fundamentally at odds with Christianity on many points.
So there is no such thing as reincarnation in Christianity?
No, there is no reincarnation in Christianity. The Bible makes it impossible to conceive of a reincarnation. For example, when you look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment." So it makes it clear that our existence is in a linear rather than cyclical fashion, as assumed in reincarnation. It is linear. We have a point at which we begin, a point at which we terminate or exit, and the Bible says after that comes the judgment. So there's no cyclical, life which goes round and round in different forms and different kinds. So fundamentally, this is what the Bible teaches, what the Bible gives us.
What about the idea that Jesus was one form in heaven and then was in a different form on earth and then yet a different form when he was resurrected and then a different form when it was when he had ascended, implying different kinds of incarnation?
Yeah, that is okay. The incarnational nature, we are talking reincarnation and then incarnation, they're almost related. But in this sense, we are talking about, with regards to Jesus, this is his, what we call condescension or humbling himself, as you find in the book of Philippians chapter 2 from verse number 5, that even though he is God, he didn't think of it as something that he was supposed to, treasure so much. But he put aside his privileges and prerogatives as God and decided to come in human form for the purposes of achieving a goal, which is our salvation. So that is, a functional way of achieving a goal of, redeeming or saving people, that God decided to accomplish it in the form of incarnation. But it's a totally different concept to reincarnation, because for incarnation, with reincarnation, death is a prerequisite. One has to die, and then after they die, they are coming or they are assuming different forms and states and so on, whether they go up or down the ranks, depending on the way they've lived. But with Christ's incarnation, his coming into the world, it was not premised on death, or he didn't die in order to come in this form, but he assumed a form that would be acceptable to us. If he had come in his light and brilliance and glory, he probably would have melted the whole earth away. There was no way we were going to contain. And so he came in a form that we can understand and that we can endure for the purposes of accomplishing salvation.
Was he not reincarnated when he came back after resurrection?
We are not told of a reincarnation because his disciples saw him in his physical form. The scars were there. They actually touched them, some like Thomas, who were doubting whether this was real or not. So we see him in a human nature, in the form that they had known him. Even Mary, who had gone to the tomb, when, you know, at first mistaking him for the gardener or the owner of the garden, but when he called her in a familiar tone, she immediately recognized him and knew that this was the master. It was not actually somebody else. So after the resurrection, we find he's presented in a form that the disciples could actually recognize, and the scars were there. They could see them, they could touch them.
Even though he was able to walk through walls.
Yeah, and prior to that, he had been able to walk on water, even before the death, and do many other things that he did even prior to that. So yeah, walking through walls and walking on water, I pretty much see those as extraordinary things in and of themselves, whether before or after the resurrection.
I say this now, Dr. Mbiriri, because the very definition of reincarnation is experiencing a variety of lifetimes on this mortal world. That's a fair definition, isn't it?
Yes, that is a fair definition, but it is not a blank definition. It is a definition that exists within a particular religious context and milieu, with an understanding that is defined within that context. So sometimes people can take and stretch or maybe try to superimpose it on another experience or reality in a different religious context. It then changes the meaning or definition that it has from its point of origin. Just like, for example, the concept of baptism. The baptism is there, for example, given in the Bible that whenever a person is baptized, there has to be water, there has to be enough water to cover the person who is getting baptized and for the person who's baptizing to be in the same water. But today, we see so many kinds of baptisms that people say, well, this is also baptism, this is also baptism, you know, distorting and changing the meaning. So words don't exist without meaning. They have meaning in context. And if the context is changed, the meaning is also distorted.
Well, before we had Hinduism, we had Christ incarnate and reincarnate. And I'm suggesting he was reincarnate after he was resurrected.
Before we had Hinduism, did you say?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure how old Hinduism is, but I'm not sure in a relation, because the incarnation of Christ happened in the first century AD. I'm not sure if Hinduism is younger than that.
Okay.
It could be old.
Are you suggesting it is?
Yeah, it's a real possibility, yes.
That Hinduism informed the concept of reincarnation long before Jesus was mortal?
No, not that it informed, but it exists in its own right and in its own way.
Right.
There were things that were happening in Asia, for example, during the time when Amos was a prophet in Israel.
Right.
Amos has nothing to do with what was going on in Israel, in Asia.
Right.
And those in Asia may have had nothing at all.
Yeah.
Total obedience to what was going on in Israel. So I'm not suggesting that it might have been informed by Hinduism.
Okay.
But I'm simply saying that I would not state that Hinduism is younger than Christianity.
I'm talking about the concept of incarnation. Are you suggesting that the very concept and the phenomenon of incarnation originated with them?
Originating with Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, that is where we find it. We do not have the concept of reincarnation, because reincarnation, by definition, it is when someone dies and then it's assumed that their soul comes back into existence in another form, whether as a lizard, as a chameleon, as a fish, as a mosquito, as a cockroach, and so on and so on, depending on how the person has lived, which is called karma, how the person has lived there in the prior existence. And then they continue in that kind of cycle until finally they escape when they have achieved perfection in terms of their action. So salvation comes through doing the right things, which is also contrary to how salvation is presented to us in the Bible. John 3 verse number 16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So salvation in Christianity is not based on doing good things. It is based on accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it is not, one does not, enter and exit life in and out in different forms until they finally achieve escape, when they finally get all the answers correct. That is totally different. And these are the fundamental tenets of Hinduism, I mean, of reincarnation, as understood in Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism.
Yeah. So all these Indo-Aryan communities that have this kind of thought process and this kind of theology in their traditions, they all had no interactions with Christianity, or at the very least, the Jewish community that lived during the Greco-Roman world, right? So there is no way we could suggest that one informed the other. Would that not be fair?
We don't have a basis. Well, at least I'm not aware of any basis where that there would have been, you know, some borrowed influence.
What about what about the wise men from the East, the Magi?
Yes, wise men from the East. We are basically talking about the area that we today call the Middle East.
Right.
Areas around Iraq or Iran, which is a different culture. It's a Semitic culture. And the Semitic culture is essentially the same as the Hebraic culture. Anyway, the Hebrews were Semites, just like the people of Iran, the people of Iraq, or the Arab world. Though that is the Semitic, which is different to the Far Eastern religions that we're talking about, which are coming from China, India, and some places like that. Yes, these are different cultures.
Wow. Okay, that's a new interpretation of it, or at least it's new to me, because I've always been of the understanding that the Magi were in the Far East, not the Middle East.
No, they were in the east of Palestine.
Right.
And the part of the world where we have interaction between Palestine and the East, it's the Mesopotamian valley, or the Euphrates Tigris Valley, Mesopotamia.
Right.
That is the part of the world, the place where people like Abraham came from. That is the East.
Right.
When the Bible is talking about the East, or people from the East, it's talking about basically Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
Areas around Iraq, Iran today.
Okay. Okay. All right. So no reincarnation in Christianity. You can buy the story if you are of Far Eastern persuasion, but not the Middle Easterners. They have no such thing. That's the final analysis, isn't it?
Yes, we don't see it in the Middle East. We see it in the Far East, India, China, and places in that region. That's where we have the religion that supports and promotes the concept of reincarnation.
Right.
Reincarnation is defined in these religions is incompatible with Christianity at many levels. And in fact, the Bible does not countenance the view of a soul that exists, because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, what a soul is.
Right.
God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word that is translated soul is the word nefesh in Hebrew, and it means creature, became a living creature, a living being. When referring to humans, it's also translated being. When referring to animals, creature. But many people in Christianity also entertain the concept of a disembodied soul that goes on to exist or to live. And in that sense, they have I can say, reincarnation light in that sense. There's a reincarnation light, which is actually dominant in many Christians or Christian faith communities, because people believe that someone who has died still goes on to have a conscious existence in a disembodied way, which is contrary to what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible says, for example, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 5, and so on, all these really make it impossible for disembodied existence, and so on. So, to strengthen, but yeah, so I have to give that disclaimer. But by and large, the Bible, there's no room for reincarnation, because of the concept of salvation, issues of a person lives once, dies, the judgment follows. So it's a linear, not a cyclical way in which things happen.
Got it. Loud and clear. Lovely, lovely. Thank you very much, Dr. Mirir. Appreciate your time and your insights as always. My goodness, mind-blowing stuff. Thank you very much. Let's talk tomorrow again, Mfunis.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Mfunis.
Thank you for having me.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.